This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
Hello there. Welcome to the Bite Size Business Breakfast for today, Wednesday, March the 3rd, lovingly curated by producer Shruti Rajendran, who joins me now. Hey, Shruts.
Hello.
So these demographic data points have got the cat among the pigeons, haven't they? We've been speaking to the guys from S&P this morning.
Yes, and a very tough interview, I should say, listening from the outside, because, you know, they released these figures that 8.4% of the Dubai population, expat population, seem to have left the Emirate. But they couldn't really explain how they got the number, understandably.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a lot of sympathy for the guys at S&P here, because we don't have formal population data like you get in the United States. So they've got to rely on proxies. They're looking at things like telephone accounts and renewals and subscriptions and things like this, and they try and piece together a picture, and I think they've done a good job. Anyway, make your own mind up. We're going to hear from the guys at S&P. We're also going to hear from a recruitment expert, Toby Simpson, aren't we, about, well, what does that mean for the job market? Is it good? I mean, is it good in that there's fewer people competing for jobs? Is it bad in that the economy is shrinking because the population is shrinking? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also, and our next interview after that, Allsop and Allsop, if I may jump the gun, they're talking about they opened a recruitment agency as such. And it's about, maybe this is a way to get more people, new people into the UAE. It shouldn't necessarily be seen as a bad thing. It could be seen as new blood coming to the country.
Yeah, so we've got both of those coming up. Also going to talk about the new, the big blockbuster billion dirham deal announced yesterday. MR Properties wants to buy back MR Malls, which is, of course, by some measures, the world's biggest shopping mall, Dubai Mall.
Yes, great news. But you said not good news if you have bought shares.
Yeah, because I remember as a business journalist 7 years ago covering the MR Malls IPO when MR Properties spun off the shopping mall business. A share then would have cost you 2.9 dirhams. I'd forgotten that number 3 days after the IPO. But MR's buying it back for about 1.9 dirhams.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, if you bought those shares, you're probably not celebrating, not doing high fives and victory laps around the Dubai Fountain this morning. All that to come. First up, though, Serena Kelly had the day off today. Nadia Swan has all the top stories. First order of business as ever, just for those waking up now, can you give us very quickly the latest case numbers?
Of course, yes. So a quick recap of the numbers. We've confirmed 2,721 new cases of COVID-19 from 225,159 tests. And as we said earlier, that's about the second highest number of tests that we've conducted in a day. The other one was 226,000, just over that. And we've had 1,666 people who've recovered. So our recovery tally stands at 383,998. Sadly, 15 more patients have died. Our fatalities, therefore, stand at 1,253. And we've seen a slight increase in the number of cases. We're back up to active cases of 11,520. So that's been climbing the last 3 days. And you were talking earlier about some percentages, looking at a seven-day rolling average. If you look at the tests to positive cases, that's about 1.5%, Richard. And if you look at the deaths to cases percentage there, that's 0.5%. On those numbers.
Nadia, thanks very much indeed for that. Let's talk about vaccinations. Tom, we're getting loads of questions in, aren't we, about vaccines. Someone writes in, for the over 40s vaccination change, is it Pfizer, is it Sinopharm, or a different jab? What else are you picking up on, Tom, in terms of questions?
Yeah, a lot of people just asking about what happens next when it comes to all things vaccination. Once I am vaccinated, do I need to register this on some app? That's from one of our listeners out there. Others getting in touch with regards to the various, I think that's the big confusion around vaccines, and just combining a lot of the questions that come in, is this idea, and it still seems to do the rounds, despite the fact that WHO have said, despite the fact that local authorities have said, is the vaccine ain't a silver bullet, is it? A lot of people out there assuming that once they get the vaccine, then they are free to do cartwheels in the sand.
No, you're absolutely not.
I mean, you can do cartwheels in the sand as long as you're wearing a face mask.
Well, you might be able to. I couldn't with or without a face mask, but that's beside the point. But just to tackle the subject of vaccines, Tom, they have expanded the availability of vaccines to the general public. So if you're 40 and above, you can now register. A couple of really important things, and I'll come back to your questions in a second. A couple of really important things. To register for the vaccine, you have to do that either on the DHA app or via their contact centre. That's 800-342. What you will need is your medical record number, that MRN number that you've been talking about previously, and you have to get that by registering on the website dha.gov.ae. So you'll need your Emirates ID for that. What happens then is when you try and register, you actually have a choice of vaccines through the DHA. So it'll ask you certain questions. And
chicken
then
or fish?
Yes, exactly. Or vegetable is the case, maybe. But so you can, as you register, you can actually go through the steps. It'll check and see whether you're eligible. And if you have a choice of vaccines, you can choose by location centre which vaccine you want to have at which location centre. It's all fairly straightforward, all nicely laid out. So at the moment, the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, the change there is that previously you could only have it if you were 18. Now you can have it if you're above 16. And the other vaccine that's on offer, the AstraZeneca vaccine, that was previously only given to people between the ages of 18 and 65. Now you can have it from the ages of 18 and over. So absolutely no problem with having it, even if you're older than 65 years old.
On the issue of
those are two questions there.
On the issue of vaccines, Nadia, we've got a couple of questions coming in. I know you don't have the answers right now. Maybe you do. One of them is about whether or not people on extended tourist visas are eligible for the vaccines. I think as yet you've got to be a resident, not a tourist, to get the vaccine. Is that still correct?
Do you know, as far as we know, yes. Nothing has been said yes about people who are on tourist visas being able to get the vaccine, extended or not. And I understand people are stuck over here for whatever reason. But at the moment, nothing about tourist visas. But the interesting change in this new legislation that's come out is that you can now get the vaccine in Dubai if you can prove you're a Dubai resident, even if your visa is from one of the other Emirates. So that previously wasn't the case, or we didn't know that was the case. So this has now been said quite clearly that if you do have a residency from another Emirate and you can prove you live in Dubai, you can then apply to the DHA for a vaccine.
Manal has written in, it's probably not a question for you, Nadia. She says, what about if I'm breastfeeding, can I now take the vaccine? And the issue of people who are expecting or trying for a baby or recently had a baby is a big issue. It's not a question for you, Nadia, is it? It's a question for a doctor. But Manal, you make a good point. Maybe we'll try and get a doctor on, if not today, then tomorrow, to look at this issue, because we are getting loads of questions, aren't we, about that?
Yes, I know. And I think in the afternoon on Helen's show, they often tackle that sort of subject as well. And again, at the moment, you would say that's probably the best to talk to your doctor about medical advice like that in that the situation, because it hasn't been tested so far on pregnant and breastfeeding women, the vaccines.
Very quickly, before we let you go, Nadia, we had the press conference last night here in the UAE, didn't we?
Yes.
Dr. Farida again fronting up. What did we learn?
So apart from, we talked about some things earlier on about having tests if you have any respiratory symptoms. Another couple of points that she made was that if you have been quarantined for COVID-19, you are still permitted to go to the nearest hospital if you need a test or if in the event of any health emergency. But the important thing she says is you must get a medical report from the hospital as evidence to avoid penalties for breaking the quarantine. So one, don't worry about going, but certainly make sure you get your medical report. And the second thing she's saying is that if you want to update your COVID-19 test on the Al Hosn app, it's absolutely essential. She's saying that you really must do that. And she's saying that if the app hasn't registered the letter E 28 days after you've had your second vaccine dose, you should call 800-4676 or the National Call Centre on 800-937-292 to get technical support. Because again, a lot of people have been asking, well, I've had my vaccines, why isn't it showing? So that's what you need to do, because they're saying that it really is important that your details show on the Al Hosn app.
Very good. I've got a star at the moment. I don't have no idea what that means.
Gold star?
Yeah, I've literally got a gold star.
It is a gold star?
Yeah.
Gold star's better than red star.
Happy day. It's not a golden visa, but it's a gold star. Nadia, thanks very much indeed.
Pleasure. All those details on the ARN News Centre app.
Actually, we got a question in from Chris this morning. Morning, Chris, who says, will records be shown on both apps? And he also says, does the Seha app talk to the Dubai Health Authority app? Seha is an Abu Dhabi-based company. Brandy, this is a question that you put to the guys at Emirates yesterday, wasn't it, Adel Al-Reda?
I'm just looking for my gold star.
You've got a silver star.
I haven't got a star at all.
You haven't been that good this month.
23 days since I was vaccinated. What date does it come in? The 30-day mark?
Mine, to be fair, is a kind of off yellow. It's not gold, really. I'm exaggerating for effect.
When did you last have a PCR test, Richard?
Oh, I had one just a few days ago because I had to come back to work after going on holiday. So I landed 9 days ago. The previous PCR test, February the 27th.
I'm early. I'm a little premature here. I have to wait to 28 days, I've just been told.
Yes, I was going to say 28 days is what they say. And then if you've had a PCR test recently, your star should, or your E should reappear.
I haven't got an E, I've got a star. Although my vaccination was 6th of September 2020, so my 6 months is up after tomorrow. So I might lose it for that.
Keep taking the tests.
Nadia, thank you very much indeed.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
Right then, let's get some more detail on one of the big stories of the week for this city, this country, and indeed this region. Data out from S&P, the ratings agency, suggesting that for the GCC, the Gulf region, the population has declined 4% as many expats lost their job and went home. Here in Dubai, 8.4% in the eye of the storm. Joining us on the line there to give us some more detail is Director and Lead Analyst for GCC Corporates at S&P, Sapna Jagtiani. Sapna, good morning. Thanks very much indeed for being with us.
Hi, good morning.
So, your report has made a lot of headlines around the region. The question that we've had most of all is, how do you get these numbers? Because we don't get official data on population movements up and down on a regular basis here in the GCC. So how did you and your team go about crunching these numbers?
There are a number of indicators in the market. Obviously, we've probably seen and heard of a number of people leave, which is anecdotal information. But things like, what's happening with registrations in terms of telephones, etc. Those sort of give us some indicators to see what we're looking at. And again, as I said, these are our forecasts. We use these forecasts internally to when we're rating entities. So we need to have some estimates. And given the lack of information or up-to-date information usually in the region, it's a forecast, right?
Of course, Sapna. And in that forecast, we're really keen to know, what are you assuming is happening demographically? Which section of the economy do you think these expats are coming from?
Yeah, sure. So here, obviously, we're probably looking at the lower end of, the revenue spectrum or the earning spectrum, if you want to call it that. There are a lot of people who've had their job losses or, who've had to repatriate, as you said. And that has definitely to do with the lower end of the demographic. So they might not look like, in terms of the numbers, of course, they're very important, but maybe in terms of the contribution to the economy, they're lower down the scale. So the percentage, in a sense, hasn't changed drastically.
So, Sapna, what does this mean for the real economy and for companies here in Dubai? If we look at your day job, it doesn't say, demographic analyst or economist. You're director and lead analyst for GCC Corporates. You look at big companies here in the Gulf. So when you analyse those big companies, and real estate is one sector that I know you and your colleagues have looked at, what impact does this drop in population have on different sectors, whether it's real estate or retail or whatever it may be?
Sure. So outside of just the demographic picture, that definitely impacts the real estate prices and rentals, of course. More so rentals because, you don't have a user if you don't have tenants in the market or enough tenants in the market. But also the prices and the one other element that really impacts the real estate market is the supply-demand situation, which is wholly oversupplied at this point in time. In fact, it was this way before we even started, before the pandemic. And we expect that these segments, residential, office, retail, as well as hotels, will continue to struggle in 2021. It's going to be a very difficult year for all the reasons that you said, but also to do with recovery, which we think will be slow and long and painful. So part of the story is, you know, the real economy, the demographic, but also, you know, Dubai is a tourism hub. So the tourism story, the recovery of flights, you know, the recovery of the reputation as the shopping destination, which we believe will take longer. And so we're just expecting that recovery here as well will be probably even beyond 2022.
Sapna, we're going to have to leave it there. Fascinating insights. Look, really good research from you and the team at S&P. It's not easy calculating these demographic numbers, and you've done a really, really good job with incomplete data. So congratulations to you and the guys at S&P Ratings for that. It's the voice of Sapna Jagtiani. She is director and lead analyst for GCC Corporates at S&P. Joining us on the line to give us some perspective now is the veteran recruitment expert and headhunter, Toby Simpson, who's the CEO of Striver.app. Morning, Toby.
Morning, Richard. Enough of the veteran, please. Come on. I'm not that old.
Fair enough. Mate, what's the deal with the population down 8% in Dubai, and how is it impacting the job market?
Well, it's where we are in the cycle. So it's what's happening during COVID. And, you know, I think that 8.4% will grow because there are a lot of people that, you know, have their livelihoods have changed, and they're hanging on to the Dubai lifestyle by their fingernails. And so, you know, basically we're going to get up to kind of 1 in 10 people, you know, have a not fun story. And it's been a difficult time for a lot of people, and it's very sad. But in terms of where we are now, I don't think it's a bad situation. There's definitely light at the end of the COVID tunnel. Companies have already kind of gotten down to the leanest they could possibly operate in. So from a hiring perspective, it's like the reset button has been pressed, and hopefully we're about to kick on, albeit in a different shape in 2021, 2022.
So what are you seeing at Striver in terms of two different dimensions? Firstly, which industries are hiring at the moment? And secondly, which kind of pay scale is hiring at the moment? Is it the sub 5,000 dirhams a month worker, or is it the people who are earning 50,000 dirhams a month? Where's the action at the moment?
Well, right now it's actually at the upper end of the market. It's because the planning is happening. So that you tend to hire from the top down. So there's it's kind of across the board. So, you know, even within, let's say, sectors that are dramatically hit, such as oil and gas, construction, these sort of sectors, they still have to function as businesses. Now, those businesses have you know, often changed their dynamics dramatically about the sort of business they're going to go after, about, you know, the sort of sectors they see themselves in. And when you get that sort of dramatic change, it means bringing in new individuals that can, you know, sort of execute a new strategic plan. And that tends to be from the top down. So right now, it's not a bad time to be a headhunter. And I imagine the growth in the general population for general hiring will follow fairly soon after.
In terms of the kind of skills that we need at the moment to get hired, is that changing, Toby?
Yes, absolutely. Very good point. Fairly dramatically, because what COVID's done is it's a bit of a marker for significant structural change in the economy. So we've got used to new normals and things you don't really think about that much about how your activities have changed. The obvious one is, you know, sort of standard retail to e-commerce. There's been an enormous change in that perspective. So because that's changed, the candidates out there need to focus on what I call their mobility skills. So not necessarily the skills you've got that are related specifically to your sector, but the skills you've got that make you a useful professional no matter where you end up working.
Finally, how is the business of recruitment itself changing? Now, we're describing you as being with Striver.app. That's your consulting. You were with Gulf Recruitment Group for a decade or so, a slightly more conventional recruitment, recruitment role that you had there. And you still work with those guys. We had, Brandy was speaking earlier on to the founder of Allsop and Allsop, Lewis Allsop. He's a real estate broker. He's got into the recruitment business and saying they're doing it a little bit differently. How is the way that we hire changing?
Well, it's a lot to do with technology. So your middle chunk of the recruitment sector, which is very much just the ability to provide a CV, that's not really a skill anymore. A lot of that is automated. So much more of it comes down to actually making sure you lay the foundations to hire properly. So much more is coming around the consulting angle. So headhunting and the senior level is relatively unchanged. And actually the mass market, the kind of project-based recruitment or lower-level recruitment change, it doesn't change a lot, but it's that mid-sector of actually what recruitment companies, do for the, hiring mid-level managers, mid-level professionals. What they need to do changes significantly.
It's the voice of Toby Simpson, CEO of Striver.app, based here in the UAE.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-sized Business Breakfast.
Let's have a look at some of the business stories capturing our attention this morning. And Thomas, broadly speaking, staying on the E11 as you go past Dubai Creek Golf and Yacht Club and Deira City Centre on your left-hand side, heading towards Sharjah.
Yeah, Sharjah, interesting one. You know how we've been talking about how did Brandy describe it earlier? The carrot and stick of COVID vaccines and otherwise at the moment. Well, this is very much a carrot being dangled over in Sharjah. Sharjah police are offering tens of thousands of dirhams in prize money for ideas of how to tackle the coronavirus pandemic. Their new initiative is putting together this innovation award. Open to everyone. English and Arabic language entries, all open until March the 20th. Ideas must help improve prevention, recovery, vaccination and coronavirus screening. Comes at a time when more is needed to fight the disease. So they've gone to the people and they've said, look, more could be done, I'm sure. We're going to throw money at the problem. And let's see what we come up with. So it's going to be an opportunity to involve members of the public of all ages in drawing up plans, quite literally. The award is going to be divided into two categories, one for ideas and other for projects. The ideas category, winners will be awarded £8,000, £5,000, £2,000 respectively. In the projects category, you will get a bit more for your projects, £20,000, £15,000 and £10,000. Respectively. Okay, so what do you need to do? Well, the projects need to relate to the country and must have the potential to limit the spread of the coronavirus.
Tom, this is your moment, mate, because about 3 or 4 months ago, you came up with the idea of supplementing the medical profession with people who were good with needles.
You're right. We were looking.
Who did we have?
We had tailors, seamstresses. We had
archers.
Blow dartists, and
spear fishermen,
very good. Yeah, anyone handy with their trigger finger would be good at this one. Yeah, you're right, actually. Let's put whack that
anyone who can operate a nail gun.
Nail guns, yeah, anything like that.
Speed up the vaccination process.
Yes. So we were looking for different options. But, yeah, it's just obviously looking for more input from the community to tackle the fight against coronavirus. Got any ideas? You could be a couple of grand richer. Get involved.
My big story today is the MR Mall story. MR Properties wants to buy back MR Malls and delist it from the stock market. It would be a deal valued at 20 billion dirhams plus. The thing is, though, which I hadn't realised, if you were one of the people who bought shares in MR Malls in the IPO, and it was 7 years ago, back in 2014, you've lost out. I'd forgotten the share price that MR Malls listed at, 3 days after the IPO. It was 2.9. They're going to buy it back at less than 2. I was speaking to Muhammad Ali Yassin about this from Al Dhabi Capital, and he said it's a great deal for MR Properties. It's not such a good deal if you're a shareholder of MR Malls. This is what he had to say.
If you are an Emaar shareholder, probably it is a good deal for you because you sold the shares of Emaar Malls for 2.9 dirhams in 2014 and now you're getting it back for around 1.85 dirhams. But I believe overall, if you are an Emaar Malls person who subscribed to Emaar Malls, you are incurring a loss, definitely.
What do you make of this?
The two boards have had to sign this off, presumably, or will.
Yeah, they have.
What's the crossover?
MR Properties already owns 85% of MR Malls, so there's only 15% free float. So basically, it's signed, sealed and delivered. Even if you're an MR Malls shareholder and you don't like this deal, 85% already votes in favour of it. So it's going to happen, isn't it?
It is. I'm interested in the why. I mean, we saw the MR Mall numbers, didn't we? NEM, she did okay.
That was the bright spot. That's the e-commerce.
They are so good, by the way. They did. I bought a pair of shoes for my son. Dropped him off at school last week, and his sports shoes were looking. They were falling apart. So I checked the size, ordered, got home, so about 8:30, I was off work, got home about 8:30, 8:45, ordered him a new pair of shoes, they arrived at lunchtime. It's like ordering a pizza. It's a really homegrown success story. Sorry, go on.
But having a look at what we saw from Dubai Mall's proper 25% drop in 2020 revenue. I'm just having a look at one of the reports on that very quickly now. And we know, I mean, it was a tough year if you were a shopping mall, wasn't it, 2020?
It was, but Tim Hortons in Dubai Mall is still paying the rent, as is Zara. And so there is some money coming in, not as much, but there's some money coming in terms of the rent. And that is stable revenue. You're listening to The Business Breakfast.
Just the highlights. This is The Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
And as we dig into those numbers out from S&P, the claim that the Dubai population could have fallen by more than 8% last year, we're going to speak now to the real estate agency that's decided it's the perfect time to move into recruitment. We are joined by Lewis Allsop, the CEO of Allsop and Allsop. Morning, Lewis.
Good morning. How are you, Kay?
I'm good, mate. Explain yourself.
Oh, God. Heard that a few times before. So we have launched a recruitment arm, spinning really off the back of the success of the estate agency business over the last 13, 14 years. As you know, we've recruited thousands of people into Dubai and brought them into the Dubai economy. And we're seeing a potential spike in recruitment over the next 6 months, which we're forward forecasting for, especially in the tech industry. I think that's where a lot of the world is going. As a business, Allsop and Allsop, we've got major contacts with most of the PLCs and larger companies. So it's an easy sidestep for us into another business, which I think we can contribute towards the market with our technology that we want to bring to the party.
So will it just be, and explain to me here, will it just be recruitment related, real estate related recruitment that you will be doing, or wider than that?
No, so we're starting off at the moment with a tech desk. So we've got a couple of people working specifically on technology that will go and find people looking for big tech industries. Then we will spin off into finance, teaching, really wherever we see the demand. I mean, the way that we've set up Allsop and Allsop for recruiting, we're mirroring that. So, for instance, if you recruit with Allsop and Allsop, there's more technology involved than just sending a CV. We don't really like sending a CV. So what people do with our business is they have to send a 30-second video in explaining who they are and what they're about. And then we will sift through them. And yeah, we've got a few unique techniques that I think are not being used in the market at the moment. And, you know, I just believe what we can bring is a lot of value to the people looking for employees.
Timing, though. Lewis, I mean, you've heard our discussion with S&P. We have been talking about Dubai's population this morning. Whatever number you put on it, I think we all know that it's declined because we've all been to a couple of leaving parties. Is it really the time to move into the business of hiring people?
Well, it wasn't the time to open the state agency in 2008. I think the best time to open a business is when a lot of people are fearing what's going to happen. I've always said with Dubai, Dubai is a winning city. I don't believe in S&P's report, to be honest with you, and I'll speak openly about it. If you read their real estate report, it forecasts that properties had and should have gone down in value, but they've gone up 25-30% in the last 6 months or so. So, you know, I look at Dubai as how I see it. Yes, people have left and they've got on the expatriate repatriation flights, but there are people still moving here. You know, we had 9 people start in the last 2 weeks. Yes, numbers are down for us, but I think forecasting Dubai and saying, you know, that people have left, of course, people have pivoted away from their jobs. If you calculate the Emirates pilots have left Dubai, they haven't. I think we've got 5 Emirates crew that work for us that started in the last 4 months. So I think you have to consider that people just love living in Dubai, and there's not many better options in the world at the moment than Dubai as a city. Everywhere else is pretty much closed except from Australia, like you said. So as a business, you know, I'm forecasting that people are going to go in different industries, and I don't think there's a bad time to launch a business if you're looking for a long-term plan.
What about the fact that we're not short a recruitment agency or two at the moment? Is it not a saturated market?
It is. I mean, but they're all doing the same thing, to be honest with you, Brandy. I mean, you look at what they do. It's a portal where they put their property online, put their CV online, and someone sends. I mean, Allsop and Allsop, they've got 1,800 CVs a month. You can't get through them. You need someone that's going to bring something new with technology and ideas and visions behind how you can make it easier to recruit the employee that you're looking to bring on. So, yes, there is. But, I mean, look, we'll be working with some of the biggest and best companies in Dubai that are looking for the best employees and best talent out there. And, you know, I genuinely think we can bring something to the party. So it's very exciting.
The last time we spoke to you, Lewis, we did actually speak to you about hiring people, ironically, because we asked you if the skills that were needed at the moment to be a real estate agent had changed. You said yes. You said that pre-pandemic, you just needed someone who could make a couple of phone calls. Now you needed people who were actually clever. I do want to know, how did that comment play out with your team, particularly your older hires?
Fine, to be honest with you. I think everyone understands the concept behind it. I think the type of person you're looking for now, it has a more emotional intelligence. People that are going to, you know, look behind the numbers and look at, you know, what families and people are doing. And yeah, I mean, look, it is what it is. I think people understand it's a very different type of job to what it was 10 years ago. So there's a different type of character and personality that you need to take the job on. So yeah, no harm done there at all.
Lewis Allsop, CEO of Allsop and Allsop, the real estate agency that is now moving into the recruitment business, setting up its own recruitment arm, starting with a tech desk, saying they're going to be doing things a little bit differently.
Reminds me of the Warren Buffett quote when you asked him that question about why now be fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful. You're listening to The Business Breakfast.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.